if you're in Chicago visiting ever, you should go to Manny's and eat it.
Absolutely.
Whoever is listening to this, go to Manny's.
They have pictures of politicians up on the wall.
It's one of those places.
Yeah, it is. Yeah. I think there's David Axelrod's table. It's actually like
for
labeled.
Sure there is.
Yeah. There's some Barack Obamas up there. Yep. There's some George Clinton. George Clinton's? I just did that.
Yeah. And we're back. It's Fantasy Outliers, the podcast from fantasyoutliers.com. And this is Dave.
And other Dave.
And this is week 15, also known as round two of the playoffs for most people. We are scraping by, Dave and I, as we crash into Christmas finishing up the fantasy football season here.
This is a very long season.
Dave, are you tired?
I'm tired, yes. Yes, but...
Are you going to take a long winter's nap after this?
I would love to. Okay. That would be great right now.
Did you go to sleep just now for a second?
Yeah.
I thought you had more to say there.
Out. Sorry, I just passed out.
Yeah.
No.
Okay. Well, I mean, I think this is an exciting episode. One of us has really, really big news to share. And
what's that?
Well, I beat Chris Seal, our founder, in the first round of the playoffs in our Fantasy Outliers League, which means I'm coming for you, Dave. We may have
a collision,
a Super Bowl,
in
the Fantasy Outliers League between your two intrepid podcast hosts.
My teams did good this week. I just want to tell you,
you did
in all, yeah, they did.
I thought you only made it in one league, though.
No, I know that's the problem. They. Everybody did well the week after I got knocked out of the playoffs in most of my leagues.
Wow, you're so nice. You kept going after that.
Yeah. Well, I put up 160 points in a league that I'm not even supposed to be playing.
Jeez. So,
oh well.
So you have to play one more time, or do we have to play one more time before we meet in the playoffs?
Yes. Yes.
Yeah. Okay. So you and I are on opposite ends of the bracket. So we got to finish that up, and then we could meet in the Super Bowl. And that's the big news that we had, is that Dave and I might meet in the Super Bowl, right? That's the biggest news that happened to you this week, right?
Yeah, that is the big news.
Okay, perfect.
You're right.
The big news. Okay, so week 15, it's late December, mid-December in Chicago. It's cold. It's 6 degrees real feel outside, which is like a cool, hip rebranding of wind chill.
I like it.
You like it?
Yeah.
Yeah.
It's slick.
You know that someone just kept complaining about like that it's not just the wind that makes it feel like that. And
yeah.
So we got to come
up with... It's the humidity. It's a combination.
And so we have to come up with something more accurate in order to share on all of our social media channels from now on.
I'm wearing long underwear.
In my basement.
In your basement.
Yes, yes. We got a heater on. There might be a little bit of buzz in the background. We got that like crazy manic mid-December kind of like closing out the year at work, closing out the holiday shopping list, closing out the fantasy football season, and bringing podcast knowledge to you. So it has been a real couple of weeks here, and so we're just gonna cut to the chase with this. So when we look at the positions today, just so everybody understands, we're gonna basically assume that people who are still listening and still alive are not super interested in whether or not their studs have a marginally better matchup than their B minus stud.
Right. You should be playing all your best players.
Our opinion is basically you should mostly play the people who got you here. No, you should play the players, I mean, who got you here. And
you got to dance with who you went to the dance with.
That's what I think. That's been my philosophy in the playoffs. Now, there are tons and tons of us who are patching it together, a team that made it in the playoffs barely. We got studs at a couple positions. We don't have studs at other ones, and so we've been spot starting people. We've been looking for people to fill in all year, and that's become even more acute here in the playoffs. So that's kind of the lens that Dave and I are going to look at all the player positions for this podcast through, is who do we think are possible people who you could spot start, pull off your bench, or whatever in order to help you put a lineup out there that you feel like might actually have a chance of winning this week. So it's the semifinals?
Semifinals.
I always get those backwards.
Quarter, semis,
finals.
And then finals, yeah.
Yeah. What's the one before that?
The one before
the round of 16.
Before the quarter?
Did I call it the...
It's the Sweet 16.
Is it the Octor? The Octor Finals?
Octa Finals?
The Octa Finals.
I don't think that
would sounds like something from Iron Chef. The Octa Finals.
That's when they cook with octopuses?
The theoretical Octa Finals. Mm. Okay. So, we're just going to dive in here. Let's start. Quarterbacks.
Yeah.
Dave, what's going on with quarterbacks this week? Did anything happen with quarterbacks? Was there any big news this week from quarterbacks?
I don't think anything actually happened. All the predictions actually worked out exactly. Everybody played up to their predictions almost exactly.
Did they?
No, that's not what happened at all.
Okay.
Yeah, we got kind of a big injury going
yes,
on here.
We do.
Mr. Wentz.
Yeah.
Out for the year.
Carson Wentz out for the year. After putting up 27 points in 4-point passing leads, essentially, and putting up 40 in a 6-point passing league that I've been riding him through my entire season.
And you're not the only one. I mean, I'm sure there's tons of people that have Wentz that are in the playoffs.
Wentz was on the highest scores this year, and so most people who picked him up and started playing him, I bet, like you said, a good portion of them made the playoffs. And now we're all looking around going, what are we supposed to do? And a minor note, Josh McCown...
Yeah,
he's also out.
You were talking about slapping it together. I mean, he's a guy that you would be slapping it together with.
Right.
So he's also kind of problematic, not just for his position, but also the guys that rely on him.
Right.
Because they're now in trouble.
So something to think about for future storyline there. But as far as like a popular backup option goes, McCown is also out too, unfortunately. One other interesting thing that's happening this week or may happen this week is that Aaron Rodgers is potentially gonna start this week. It sounds like, this is Tuesday that we're recording this. So we haven't heard any injury updates as you know, towards the end of the week yet. Just to kind of close the book on Aaron Rodgers really fast. I don't think I care.
Why?
I mean, I'm not going to start Aaron Rodgers against Carolina off of 8 weeks.
Even if you had Wentz?
I guess if I had Wentz and I happened to have Rodgers on my bench this whole time, I guess that I would slot him in and go for it.
Or if somebody dropped him because they needed whatever, they didn't think he was coming back.
I don't think I would grab
him. You wouldn't put him back in on the first week back?
I don't know if I would. Against Carolina?
I would.
You would?
I think I would.
Okay, well, let's talk about this a little bit.
So I would not do it. I would not do it for most other players.
Yeah.
Even other quarterbacks.
Yeah.
I probably wouldn't do it for running backs. I definitely wouldn't do it for receivers. Definitely not for tight ends.
Yeah.
Rodgers is different. I mean, he is one of the best quarterbacks. He broke his collarbone. It's not like he had a different, it was his throwing.
True too.
It was his throwing shoulder. So that's significant.
Yeah. But it's not like it was his arm or his wrist or his hand.
Yeah. I mean, it's part of his throwing motion. So I'm sure it's going to affect him, but I also don't think they would be putting him back in if he was still hurt.
Yeah.
You know what I mean?
Yeah, they don't have any reason to.
No, they don't, because Brett Hundley
is
functioning.
Right.
Maybe not always well, but it's not like they're losing every game because of their backup quarterback.
Maybe I do stand corrected. I don't think he's an option in any of the leagues that I'm in, but if
you
happen to be that person who picked up Wentz when Rodgers got hurt or had him as your backup, maybe this is your time to just swap him back out.
I think he is almost certainly riding the bench in almost every league with the assumption that he will jump in at the very end and save you.
Yeah.
So there you go.
Well, we know how Green Bay fans are about Aaron Rodgers, so they love him.
They do.
Okay. So who else do we like as possible people to fill in for Wentz this week?
Yeah, so the list is... It's not super long, and I don't like all of the options.
Yep.
You want to start off with the obvious one or the...
My God. Should we just rename this the Blake Bortles fan cast or
I
what?
I know. I don't want to say it, but I honestly think he's the best option. I mean, he has a great matchup. He's been playing... I mean, he's Blake Bortles, but he's been putting up points.
He has a great matchup against Houston.
Houston, yes.
29th.
They don't have the pass rush that they're known for. I mean, a lot of their guys are banged up.
Yep.
So I could see it. And he's available. He's like, I don't know, 56% owned or something?
I saw 35% in Yahoo, actually, for Blake Bortles.
Oh, no. I was talking about somebody else. Yeah, it's probably lower than that. Yeah.
So let's talk real talk on Blake Bortles. Too. Like the way it's as much as I've said terrible things about him, not terrible, but bad things about him over the last couple of weeks, is someone who I didn't want on my team, who I didn't need on my team. now that I need him in the league that I have Carson Wentz, I put in a claim on Blake Bortles just before we got on this podcast. Yeah. Here's the deal.
I don't think it's dumb. I
Bortles had...
It makes 18, me super nervous, yeah, but...
He had 18-point scoring last week. He's had around 15 to 18 for many, for like a, many of the previous few weeks. MathBox has been consistently right on where it had him ranked.
Yeah.
Had him ranked towards the top end of quarterbacks. Now we have him ranked at around 9 this week. He's also, get this, he is 14th in total year scoring this year at quarterback.
Is he really?
14th. He is 12th if you count the guys who are still standing.
Yeah. I'm surprised.
Yeah.
But
so I guess that I need to get out my hashtag Juicy one more time because it is a Juicy matchup. And I, your favorite fake Blake Bortles phone call taker, your favorite Blake Bortles hater, is going to be starting him in the semifinals of the league that I'm in this week.
I think,
I hope, if nobody steals him from me.
A lot of his success, honestly, has to do with the people around him. Because they have a great defense. Mm-hmm. He has good... everybody around him is good. They have a good running game. Like, you know, if he was the quarterback for Indy, no way.
Yep.
No way.
Yep.
But the rest of his team is awesome. So it's fine. I think they're propping him up. And it's not all junk time. You know what I mean? I mean, he's done that in the past where it was just kind of garbage points. But it counted.
Yep.
This is a different situation.
Yeah. That's pretty incisive commentary there, Dave Seal.
You think so?
Yeah, I think you pretty much nailed it. And okay. You made me feel even better about putting in a waiver claim on him. So let's talk about Nick Foles for a minute.
Oh, yeah.
So I think Nick Foles is sort of the other option that you can stop and take a think about if your boy Bortles isn't out there, if there's nobody else out there on the waiver wire. You know, maybe you're in a really deep league. Maybe you're in a two quarterback league and you lost Carson Wentz.
Yeah.
Who remembers Nick Foles?
He was good once.
Yeah.
Yeah.
He threw 27 touchdowns in 2013.
Was it 2013?
2013. Okay. He was 24 years old. So he's reaching the end of his 20s right now. He's bounced around a little bit. Philadelphia tried him as a starter the year after he kind of patched together 2013. I remember in fantasy people were talking about him being way overrated.
Yes.
Way not somebody you want on your team.
He was a guy I remember that if you actually watched him play, he had some crazy touchdown interception ratio that was like, but it was mostly luck.
Yep.
As in, like, he should have thrown like 27 touchdowns and just none of them got caught.
Yep. Totally agree. So here's my theory on who Nick Foles is. If you would be happy starting Andy Dalton in replacement of Carson Wentz, if you're at the point where the waiver wire is so bare that you would be looking at people worse than Andy Dalton, I think there is a chance that Nick Foles is basically Andy Dalton.
You know, I don't know if it's that terrible. You know, I think he might be okay. It's just a hunch, and I don't have any great insight to go off there. I just think that the team is pretty good and he'll probably be fine.
Yeah.
But not amazing. Like, I think he'll get you through the week, but he's probably not going to win anything for
you. Yeah, I mean, I think Foles could slot in at, like, with knowing that he's going to be the starter and all that stuff, could slot in at quarterback 18. If you're in a league where there's nobody better available, then that's where I would start considering Foles.
Yeah, I think he might be a little bit better than that, but not much. So, okay.
Fair.
Just a guess. Pure guess.
For us, again, by the way, we have Bortles at number 9. So, decisively in the top 10 for MathBox.
The other guy? You want to talk about DeShone Kizer?
I don't want to talk about DeShone Kizer. I have him highlighted on our list just to say he had a good week last week, but there's no way I would be going for him as my spot start this week, especially because he is playing Baltimore.
Yeah, yeah. That's a...
So if I was looking for people who had a good week last week and I got to Kizer's name, I would be passing and looking for somebody else. That's probably the type of person where I start to go, I'd rather start Nick Foles than Kizer.
Yeah, I probably would.
So,
but I would much rather have Case Keenum.
Yeah.
Actually, who is surprisingly available. He He's 56% available.
So Case Keenum is who you're looking at earlier.
Yeah, that's who I was mixing
up. He's 56% owned or 56% available?
Owned.
Okay.
I screwed it up twice.
All right. Double mess up.
Yeah. And look, we were wrong on him last week. We kind of said his run was over and he did all right.
Yeah. I mean, look, MathBox for some reason was very down on that Minnesota-Carolina game. It had depressed points totals from just about everybody on both sides of the ball except for Cam, who actually had a bad game. Keenum, who was totally in the top 10. Thielen put up 20 plus points.
Yeah, he was awesome.
So there was a lot of...
Diggs was good. Rudolph was good.
Yeah, Rudolph. So, I mean, I think that, you know, it's interesting that after dropping him so much, Keenum so much in the rankings... Going into week 14, going into week 15, Keenan's back in the top 10.
Yeah.
So I think, hey, if you are lucky enough to be looking looking in the playoffs to add somebody and Keenum is out on your waiver wire, I think that I would totally go for that too. A couple of last notes brought from me, just general positional stuff. Ben Roethlisberger.
Number three.
Top three.
Yeah. Against New England.
He's back.
Mm-hmm.
Ben Roethlisberger is also... quarterback in the top 10 of scoring for the year, by the way. I don't know if you've realized that he's got himself back all the way up there.
Clawed his way back up to the top. I mean, okay, so if you look at we mentioned this last week. If you look at the rankings for New England's defense, they've been much better recently than they have been at the beginning of the year. So the rankings is going to be misleading unless you're looking at something like the last 4 weeks or the last 6 weeks or something like that. Right. So we haven't marked it 26th, then I know that they're better than that.
Roethlisberger's worked all the way up to quarterback 7 for the season.
Wow.
So something to keep in mind. We have Alex Smith at 5. I am out on Alex Smith.
Against the Chargers?
Yeah, especially against the Chargers this week. I don't think I'm going to do it. He's been pretty lackluster other than 2 weeks ago. I'm just passing.
Yeah, if you have the option.
I would hope you would have the option if Alex Smith is on your team. And that's it for quarterbacks. Did you have anybody else that you wanted to talk about, Dave?
No. I mean, that pretty much covers it.
Yeah, so the big story here, again, like quick takeaway, is if you lost Wentz and you're looking for somebody to start, we think that you should start taking a look at starting his backup, Nick Foles, if you feel like the top 15 to 18 quarterbacks are gone from your league already. Other than that, try to find a spot starter.
Let's bounce to running backs.
Okay. Let's bounce outside to running backs.
Or inside. No, that's not
work. We'll get stopped if we go up the middle. So you want to go out
around
the outside.
Let's go around the outside.
You and I are shifty guys who have to bounce around outside.
I'm quick, but I'm not fast.
We're not bruisers. I'm a little overweight. I'm not big enough to run to run through the middle.
That's
like that.
Not true.
Dunkin' Donuts, come at me, bro. All right, what do you think about running backs this week?
I think Jonathan Stewart scored 3 touchdowns. That's all I know.
And flew up to the top of top 10 of our rankings. Boy, just as an aside about that, Jonathan Stewart, huh?
What?
I've literally never had a good game. I've drafted the guy like 4 or 5 years
ago. You
in a
have
row,
owned him a ton.
And I've never been happy about it. I feel like every time I've put him in a game, I'm always like, cool, 7 points. Thanks.
Yeah, he seems to be underwhelming or hard to predict.
Yeah.
Or both, actually. Yeah.
He's underwhelmingly hard to predict. So I would we might have him as a top 10 person according to MathBox this week. I would say no. I would say flex if you want.
Yeah,
don't you
flex
think?
At best.
Yeah,
yeah, exactly. Frank Gore is way high on our list as well. I think that was just pretty much because he had 1 million carries last week, and I think that's pumping up his rankings. But
yeah, he's 22 in scoring overall this year, so he's somebody else again who is the end of RB2, basically. I think that there's no reason to take him out of that rank.
No, he's
so
fine.
He's fine. He's RB2. He's not RB1.
His legs are probably sore, but, you know. He'll be all right.
Yeah.
He's a pro.
He's a gamer. He can get through it. I think if you start looking at spot start type people you might have hanging around your bench or who might be on your waiver wire, a couple people. Latavius Murray, clearly not on anybody's waiver wire, but probably someone who's in this kind of three-headed monster fantasy kind of zone.
Right. He's your RB2 or a flex or something, depending on the week.
Yeah, and I believe that in the matchup with Cincinnati, he's probably startable as a two.
I think he's actually going to be fine, just because, you know, I've been watching Cincinnati decently. I've watched their games the last 2 weeks, and they looked awful against the Bears. They got blown out. The Bears are not that good on offense.
Yeah.
And I think Cincinnati was just tired from that Pittsburgh game 2 weeks ago.
Yeah.
And the momentum has just swung way against them. They're beat up. They're not going anywhere. I feel like they've given up.
They just stink.
Yeah, they're not good. So I would feel pretty good about playing Minnesota players against them, regardless of,
like you said, Case Keenum and these two.
Yeah, I think they'll be all right.
Kerwin Williams, we also have within the top 10, according to MathBox right now. Mm-hmm. I think that that's sort of on the back of a couple of games where he also had a bunch of carries. Should double check that.
Yeah.
This is us looking up Kerwin Williams' stats.
We need like a...
ding, 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 ding,
why don't I just like ding, record ding, a keyboard ding, in here?
Ding, 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 ding. You don't like me seeing a girl from Ipanema?
No, nope. He's been pretty bad. Under 10 points pretty much forever.
But what about attempts?
Oh, attempts? Oh, 16 and 20 in the last two games.
Yeah. So I think that he's getting pumped up a little bit off of tries that haven't been productive in reality.
Again, not that efficient.
Pass. Yeah. Pass hard.
Yeah, 16 for 97 and 20 for 73 in the last two games.
Yeah, I'm not a big fan of either one of these. I mean, maybe if you wanted, like I said, if you wanted like 7 points out of your flex, if that's where you felt like was going to get you there.
But that's what a flex is supposed to be.
Not in the playoffs, though.
Not in the playoffs. You should be better than that, actually. You're going against the better team. So, right. You're right. You should be trying to get 10 or so out of them.
Right. So I think if you're desperate, maybe you could think about it, but otherwise I'm passing. Mm-hmm. We got Mark Ingram at 10. And it looks like MathBox is really down on Kamara because of the concussion. They have him at 48, basically.
Yeah, I mean, that's not accurate. So.
Right. So
you're starting both of them.
Doesn't matter. I still have a team that I managed to sneak through where I have both of them. I'm still starting both of them.
Yeah.
That's what it is.
Yeah. The Jamal Williams rumor that I stated last week about potentially Aaron Jones taking over if he was healthy, absolutely not true.
Yeah.
Jamal Williams has a great week.
Yeah. And
I think Aaron Jones
had negative yardage. I saw he was like 2 for -4 or something like that.
Snaps or 8 carries or something. So forget that.
Yeah.
Whoops.
Jamal Williams, another person who is totally reasonably flexible, and that's kind of like where you're at.
Yeah.
Let's talk about someone who I think is better than flex. Kenyon Drake.
How so?
Kenyon Drake's last 3 weeks. So JHI was traded at the end of October.
So since
week 9, Kenyon Drake has had 16, 17, 2, 11, 23, and 24 points.
I mean,
he's had one dud game basically since Ajay left, one game sub 10 points, and two games plus 20
points.
Yeah, he's
been bouncing between an RB2 and an RB1 the whole time.
So
actually quite a bit better than I would have thought.
Yep, absolutely. And so we have him right now. MathBox has him towards the around 20 or so. I think that he's solidly RB2. I think if you're at a point where you have to start Drake as your RB2 this year, I think you should feel really good about it.
Yep.
Yep. So that's someone who you might be keeping an eye on.
And the matchup is great against Buffalo.
Yeah, exactly. And then just as a caveat, we might have a couple of really stud running backs ranked low this week because of MathBox's projections. We'll put in the notes. Play your studs.
Yeah. Don't worry about it.
Play your studs. You're going to play Gurley and Bell regardless of if we have them ranked 1, 12, or 20.
Mm-hmm.
So just play them.
And you're also probably playing Kareem Hunt.
Mm.
He had a good week.
Yeah. Yeah.
Sorry about that.
Hey, I was the one who said startable.
You were the one defending him, and I was saying, not an automatic start necessarily. And you're like, he's an RB2. I'm like, yeah, okay, so he is an RB2, but he was an RB1 this week. So
he still has the upside.
He does have the upside. Well, some of that too, and we mentioned this before, but they they changed who was calling the plays, and it might have, that was 2 weeks ago, I think, 2 or 3 weeks ago. Maybe it just took a couple weeks for them to figure out what they were going to do exactly.
Yeah.
I'm not 100% sure. I think it surprised a lot of people because he was so bad for so long. Yeah. And then all of a sudden he came back. And so like, what changed? I'm not 100% sure, but I wouldn't be afraid. If I had him, I wouldn't be afraid to start him this week.
There you go, in your playoffs. He helped you get there, so go for it. How's this beer treating you?
It tastes like I'm drinking a strawberry shake.
Strawberry shake.
Smoothie or something.
We ran out of beer in the house before Dave got here to record the podcast, and so all I had to offer him was a raspberry tart beer from our friends in from New Glarus Brewing in Wisconsin.
It's actually not that bad.
I mean, it's very good.
It's drinkable. I don't think I could drink more than like two or three of
these. But we're just like two guys hanging out in the basement, just like drinking really, really sweet beer.
Yeah.
And shivering.
I'm definitely going to have a hangover. There's like way too much sugar in this.
You've had one of them and
it doesn't take anything these days.
I know. We're old.
It's what happens.
How were you doing on Sunday?
Oh, terrible. I basically didn't function.
I went to a party that Dave threw on Saturday night.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, yep. You did.
Yeah.
Yeah. You want to see the shirt I'm wearing?
Dave was pretty drunk. Sure. Where did that come from?
So,
Dave just showed me a shirt that says engaged AF.
Yeah. So I got engaged on Saturday. Yay. She said yes. And said
we,
yes.
We said yes. Yeah.
And
she said hashtag juicy.
Yeah,
she said, yes, I'll get engaged to you.
Yeah. Yeah, it worked. Her friend sent us t-shirts, and one of them said engaged AF.
That's
and the other
funny.
One said fiance.
Fiance.
As in Beyonce.
Yeah, I like that.
Pretty good.
So
huh?
Dave has been enjoying his premarital bliss right now.
I am, but I was severely hungover on Sunday.
I bet you were.
Oh, yeah. So was she. We didn't do anything.
So when you guys are like that as a couple, when you guys had like the dual hangovers, like a tough night, you get up the next day.
What happens?
What's the takeout to go? You know, I know that you're ordering food. Where are you ordering food from?
Well, okay, so we did a double whammy. We got pastrami's on Saturday from this place called Steingold's in town, and we got again pastrami on Sunday.
What?
From Manny's. Yeah.
You got pre and post hangover.
Yeah, pre and post hangover. Yeah.
You went to Manny's.
You went to Manny's? Manny's is the pro move.
Yeah.
Yeah.
It's the best.
Everything you eat there is like the hangover cure.
Yeah.
It doesn't matter what it is.
What do you get from Manny's?
I get the pastrami on rye. Mm-hmm. I get it with a Coke. And cottage cheese. I know it's kind of
cottage
weird.
Cheese.
It balances the hot meat with the cold, you know, refreshing, whatever. And then she got noodles, like basically baked macaroni and cheese, which is amazing.
Yeah, that is
it's
really good.
So good.
You want to know my order whenever I go there? For Manny's?
What is it?
Reuben.
That's the other option.
Potato pancake.
Yeah. Oh, yeah. Yeah. Potato pancake. We got
black coffee.
Black coffee. Okay. You always get black coffee? No, you're an iced coffee guy.
Yes. Yeah, I am an iced coffee guy. So anyway, listen.
Potato pancakes are awesome.
You know what we get when we're hungover? We get Chinese from this place called Hot Wok's Cool Sushi.
I knew you were going to say that.
That is like just down the road from us. It's the best. It's the best. Like
a little Mugu Gai pan?
No, Adrian always gets sushi. And when hungover probably gets like a...
sushi for a hangover?
Well, she usually gets sushi. I think for a hangover, she would probably get like some kind of... We get noodles usually when it's that.
Yeah. Well, I'll go breaded. Go like an orange chicken or General Tso's
or like
something.
Orange beef.
Yeah.
Which is sacrilegious kind of. Like it's like, whoa, a deep fried beef feels like real much weirder than deep fried chicken.
Yeah, that doesn't seem like you should do that.
But I'll get that when I'm hungover.
It's good though.
A lot of crab rangoon. All right, well, just I want to thank our sponsors, Hot Wok's Cool Sushi, Manny's Authentic Delicatessen here in Chicago.
And Steingold's.
And Steingold's as well. So check them out if you live in Chicago or if you're ever visiting. Actually, Hot Wok's Cool Sushi is fine. If you're in Chicago visiting ever, you should go to Manny's and eat it.
Absolutely.
Whoever is listening,
they have pictures
to this, go
of politicians up on the wall.
It's one of those places.
Yeah, it is. Yeah. I think there's David Axelrod's table. It's actually like
for
labeled.
Sure there is.
Yeah. There's some Barack Obamas up there. Yep. There's some George Clinton. George Clinton's? I just did that.
Yeah.
Oh, yeah. George Clinton.
It might be George Clinton, too.
Little P-Funk. I wonder what he had. Probably a cherry pie.
He wants the funk. He's got to have it. Mm-hmm. Okay. You want to go on to wide receivers after that digression?
Oh, man.
We always like to take a little break before we go to wide receiver.
It's
just
right
kind of recharge
in the middle,
the batteries.
And you got to break it up a little bit.
Yeah.
Wide receivers.
So same thing that we're just a reminder as we kind of round the bend of the middle of this podcast is that most of what we're going to do is talk about people that we think you could spot start or that you should feel confident starting on your team. We're not going to talk too much about the studs, right?
Yes.
So two people we're going to talk about really quick, Davante Adams in our top five.
Mm-hmm. I don't know if I buy him that high, but I mean, it doesn't matter because you're probably going
to
start.
He's been good with Huntley. He's fine to start. Maybe he'll be even better with Rodgers if Rodgers happens to come back.
Mm-hmm.
And there you go.
Who knows?
Feel good about Davante Adams. He might take you into the finals. We also have Devin Funchess in our top five right now.
Yeah, that's a little confusing. They're actually playing Green Bay.
Yep.
Who is does not have a very good defense. They're 28th against the pass.
Right.
Or against wide receivers, I should say.
Right, right.
Devin Funchess had some decent highlights last week. I don't remember exactly how well he did compared to everybody else, but as a general note, Joe, just looking at everybody at the top 15, they all have very good matchups. Like Julio Jones has a great matchup against Tampa Bay. Antonio Brown against New England is pretty good, not great. Michael Thomas, you know, against the Jets is pretty good. Keenan Allen has an awesome matchup. Like basically all the way down the top 15 is pretty stacked. So feel pretty good about you know, all your studs going into this week, at least at wide receiver.
Yeah. Just to go back to Funchess for 1 second, his last six games, let's say there's one bye week in there, 13.6, 26.2, a bye week, 17.8, 16, 14.9. Devin Funchess.
Yeah.
Welcome to the party.
Yeah.
I think that, you know, he's somebody who maybe you should take a look at. If you've got him riding on the bench, you should think about starting him over some of these other people who are hanging out back there.
Yeah. So let's move down a little
then
bit.
Then a bunch of boring people, like Dave was just saying. And then we come to
the boring,
bunch of boring
people
good
that
players.
Are going to carry you into the Super Bowl.
Yeah, that are good players. The rest of the top 15, meet them. Then we get to Robbie Anderson.
Problematic.
Robbie Anderson, yeah, is problematic because of the McCown injury, I think.
And the matchup isn't great against New Orleans either. So, I mean, unfortunately, I think that train just stopped, I would imagine.
Yeah, I think so too.
I mean, I don't think McCown was playing pretty well in general. I mean, good enough to make these guys relevant. And I just don't have any faith in anyone behind him. So,
yep.
Unfortunately, I think you have to really, really think hard about if you're going to start.
How crazy is it to be like the lack of Josh McCown invalidates the entire Jets offense?
But McCown is like a fantasy football cockroach. Like the guy just does.
It's true.
He just keeps coming back.
Yeah.
You know, every year or two, he puts up a string of really good performances. He gets picked up.
Or he turns mediocre players into starters around him.
Yeah. And then he turns
mostly
back into
receivers.
A pumpkin.
Yeah, exactly.
You know, 6 games later or 10 games later.
And Eric Decker goes on to a reality TV show.
Yeah. Yeah, that's true. But
I like when I get laughs out of factual things. Good work. Good work, me.
Yeah.
My sister thinks Eric Decker is extremely good looking, and I'm like,
you're like, whatever.
He's just like a big old slab of beef guy.
Doesn't he have a brother that's also on those shows?
I don't know about that.
Okay. Maybe I'm mixing him up with somebody else.
Yeah. Maybe. He's just like the real bland, good looking guy. Big chin.
Maybe that's what she likes.
Shy. It's a surprise to me. Anyway. I don't know why I brought that up, but Eric Decker, RIP, he's gone.
We're leaving that in.
We can't edit that out. So bye-bye to Robbie Anderson, I think, for this season. If he bounces back or it looks like he's getting a lot of work this week, even with the backup in, then we'll see. Maybe you can put him back out there if you really need him in the Super Bowl. But boy, I think I'm done.
Yeah, I think I'd be out on that one.
Let's talk about Mohamed Sanu.
Yeah, let's talk about him.
Owned in a bunch of leagues. He's owned in 75% of leagues or so.
Exactly. But I actually accidentally left him in my flex spot in one of my leagues, and he has scored like 20 points.
Yes, he did.
I was like, oh no, I didn't realize he was playing in the early game, and thought I had made a mistake, and he was actually really good. So,
well, you can maybe trip into it again this week because he is playing Tampa Bay.
Yes.
Who has taken the title as our most generous defense to wide receivers at this point in the season.
Yeah, Sanu is actually been surprisingly
startable.
Let's say I'm not going to say, but he's been
flexible is what I would call him.
Flexible. Yeah. Yeah. I mean, between like 10 and 15 points most of the year.
Yeah. And then the last four on him are 12.7, 20.4, 7.3, 20.3.
Yeah. And he's kind of ebbing and flowing with the Atlanta offense, as you would expect, and occasionally with Julio being in and out. But
yeah. Brutal there.
Yeah.
Right below him, Blake Bortles is apparently favorite guy at this point. Marquise Lee.
Yeah.
We have him at number 22. And I think he's actually a pretty good start, even though his matchup isn't that great against Houston. Although it's a good matchup for quarterbacks, it just hasn't been as much for wide receivers. So
right.
That must mean, you know, that he's just kind of spread. He's using a lot of different options, I guess.
He's been fairly consistent over the last 7-ish, 8-ish games. I mean, he's only had a couple of duds recently. I think he's safe to start. I mean, and there's nothing about Houston that I think really scares you.
Do you like him wide receiver two or flex?
I think it's more flex, but you know, he's probably a good flex, I would say.
Okay. And then a couple of last notes on wide receiver. One is Robert Woods, who was kind of a good pickup a couple of weeks ago. He's been on the bench. He's been injured for the last few weeks.
Yeah, he was great when he was in before.
Yeah, for basically like a good like 4, 5, 6 week stretch, he was doing really, really well.
Yeah, number one when he was healthy over there.
So he's got a good matchup against surprisingly, it's
Matt Fox
says
Seattle.
Seattle's banged up. Nature has kind of caught up to him.
I don't know. I mean, I'm not sure what to make of Seattle's defense at this point. It sounds like they should not be good, but they continue to play well.
Yeah.
So, you know, like you said, 26 against wide receivers. But, you know, it's also the thing I was talking about earlier. Wide receivers coming back from an injury, first game, usually pretty shaky.
Yeah.
I think I would put Robert Woods in this category, which means if you pick him up this week and don't start him and you end up winning, are you really going to start him in the final game?
Probably
in the fantasy
not.
Super Bowl?
Probably not.
So, yeah, I mean, I guess it's possible, but I think it's just, strategy-wise, it's not super smart to be starting Robert Woods.
So, I say maybe consider him as a flex. Dave says, cool it. His days for 2017 are over.
Maybe.
Think about drafting him next year.
I'm trying to be cautious about
it. Yeah, I like the caution. I think that's a reasoned argument. So, I don't have any problem with what you're saying.
Yeah, because, you could totally see him being out there and doing what Greg Olsen did this week and being out there basically as a decoy, playing 90% of the snaps or whatever,
right,
and catching nothing or being targeted twice or whatever.
And just doing absolutely nothing.
Yeah. And boy, Greg Olsen burned me.
Did he?
Yeah. Sat him in one league and started him in another just because I wanted the upside and yeah, nothing. Zero.
Can we talk about the most vexing thing to me?
What number is that?
Brandon Cooks at number 44.
Yeah, no way. Is it? It's probably because it's Pittsburgh.
But still,
who cares?
Wow, boy, he's been really up and down all year. And those guys, I started Cooks and Hogan in a matchup that I lost, the playoff matchup that I lost, and it was just boy, it was disappointing to get like, I think I got a combined 10 points
yeah.
out of the two of them when I needed like 30.
Yeah, this model has him projected points per opportunity at 0.77, which is not super high for, you know, you'd think a guy like him, an up and down player, would have a pretty high points per opportunity right. and then a fairly low amount of opportunities. But not the case here. He's actually kind of low on both.
Yeah.
Only 6.5 opportunities, 6.4 projected. So that is why he is so low in our rankings.
And, you know, maybe if you started him this week and you were in the playoffs, you were eliminated like I was. So maybe you're not worried about it. But it was just something that caught my eye a second ago that those two were mm-hmm. Hogan and Cooks were so, so low in the rankings. We got to talk about him again, don't we?
We do.
Welcome to the end of the podcast. That means it's time to talk about the tight ends.
About the four tight ends that are useful.
Yep. It's so bad, you guys. I really think that there's only a couple things to think about on tight end. Gronk is back. You're starting Gronk, of course. Of course, of course.
Of course.
I don't see anybody else I'm particularly stoked to start other than Kelce.
Yeah.
Anymore?
Yeah, I mean, just as he's been all season, Hunter Henry has been oscillating between good and bad games. Evan Engram seems to be doing the same thing. Jimmy Graham has actually been pretty good, but in and out a little bit. Ertz is coming back. But, you know, coming back from a concussion, he also, obviously the Nick Foles thing could be an issue, but based off of how many real tight ends you have,
right?
Based on how many options you actually have, I kind of think you have to start him no matter what.
You have to, yeah. You have to start Ertz. It's a really good matchup. Nick Foles is somebody who has played before. You know, he has played professional football before, and so maybe he'll be able to competently manage a game. And
great matchup against the Giants.
Yeah.
So
it could be.
He might rely on the tight end more than he normally would.
Yeah.
I mean, who knows?
I mean, Foles also, just to go back to Foles for a second, like, and I don't know if we emphasized this enough before, he had a couple of games where he put up like 5 touchdowns.
Oh, yeah.
In a game because just slings it.
Yes.
And so it could be totally nuts against the Giants.
Absolutely.
We'll see what happens.
Mm-hmm.
But yeah, I mean, it's real bad at tight end. And even a lot of the guys in the top 10 who we'd be like, yeah, okay, go ahead and start Delanie Walker. Delanie Walker's in a bad matchup against San Francisco. You know, we got Eric Ebron sneaking into the top 10 or top 12 here. He's in a bad matchup against Chicago.
Jared Cook actually has a decent matchup against Dallas.
Jared Cook has a decent matchup against Dallas, but his scoring has been really all over the map, like mm-hmm. we were looking at a little bit during our like prep time. I think for me, the best spot start looks like I'm going to, if I don't have anything going on at tight end, I'm going to be back to the guy that we said to pick up after week one at tight end, Charles Clay.
Yeah.
Charles Clay has one of the best matchups at tight end, playing Miami, who's 28th against tight ends. And he's in the top 10. And I would probably be giving him a shot if I had a desperation play.
It's kind of desperation play. I mean, he hasn't been great lately.
Nope.
No. I mean, he's actually been pretty bad. He's only had one game at 10 points since he's been back.
Right.
So, but man, there's just nothing else out there.
Yeah, exactly.
I mean, I'm kind of with you. Like, I don't want to say that, but I don't know what else you would do.
Yep.
So
that's how I feel about it too. Otherwise, just stick with whatever junky tight end you've had in there and
just hope
that the rest of your players do it.
Hope for the best. Yeah. Yep.
Cool. Good and enlightening advice here on tight ends for you from fantasyoutliers.com.
Awesome analysis.
Okay, so that's it. Week 15, semifinal matchups, advice. As you can tell, things are getting a little bit tougher to find people to say to spot start and everything like that as we get down here at the end of the season. Your team is probably very good. Your opponent's teams are probably very good. So,
or you're just super, super lucky.
Yeah. Super lucky helps too. Sometimes you got to be, I mean, you almost always have to be both to win.
This
you
is
good
true.
And lucky. So hopefully we got you a couple names that might be helpful to help you plug a couple holes on your ship as you kind of push your way onto Super Bowl Championship Island. We do have a couple of quick thoughts about things you can do in the playoffs that might be worth your time, worth thinking about. So Dave had one idea for roster management that's a good thing to know.
Yeah, this is just something that I think people do sometimes. Only really at the end of the year, we were talking about replacing Carson Wentz, and there are probably only a couple of active teams working the waiver wire this week. And if you are one of those teams, then then great, you're in the playoffs. But even if you don't need a replacement for a quarterback or one of these players, you can actually go out and put in a claim for one of the players that one of the best replacements just to make sure that your opponent doesn't get them, even if you definitely don't need to play them. So whatever it is, Case Keenum or Blake Bortles or whatever, just put in that claim. As long as you've got one spot on your bench that you're sure you're not going to need for the next 2 weeks, then I would say go and do it. It's a totally valid strategy. And even if you're not going to play that person,
it's super annoying.
I do think
it's valid.
It is annoying because it feels like you shouldn't be doing that, but there's no rule against it.
There is no rule against it in many leagues. Now, I know that there are some leagues
in
that
many
just have
leagues.
Yeah, there's leagues that have no roster moves in the playoffs.
Oh.
Like you really do just kind of dance with who you came with. Once you get to the playoffs, they lock all the rosters.
Yeah, I guess that's true.
To prevent stuff like that from happening. But something to think about. Another thing that I would say is that the sort of the inverse of what Dave was just talking about, where there are sometimes players out on the waiver wire that shouldn't be because there are so few teams participating. So you can kind of gobble up the hot players each
week. The competition
week.
Is a lot easier.
Right. I've had the reverse happen before where someone has gone crazy with these spot start pickups and dropped good players who were kind of just like performing averagely. So say that they decided, oh, I want to pick up four quarterbacks to try to prevent somebody from doing it. A couple of years ago, I picked up, I think honestly it was like DeSean Jackson.
In the playoffs.
In the Super Bowl. The team I was playing in the Super Bowl dropped DeSean Jackson, and I was really weak at wide receiver in a three wide receiver league. I picked up DeSean Jackson and beat him with DeSean Jackson.
That's awesome.
Who put up 20 something points in the game that I grabbed him. So I you know, humble brags, I guess. But the deal is, I think you should look at the waiver wires that do occur in this kind of low volume time to see if anything really weird goes on.
That's
if you're
true.
Alive,
weird stuff does happen.
Because the truth is, if you're alive, you really gotta you got to play all the different angles of the game. You got to look at who's out on the waiver wire. You got to play the matchups. You got to do all that kind of stuff to be able to win. Because like Dave said, well, like we said a couple minutes ago, in order to win the Super Bowl, you have to be both good and lucky.
It's a good point.
Yeah. So as we're kind of winding it down for the season here, one thing I wanted to make a note about is that we're probably not going to get the rankings article up until Friday. So it will be after the Thursday game.
Broncos-Colts.
So let's talk about who we're thinking about starting for Broncos-Colts, just in case it wasn't clear a minute ago.
Demaryius Thomas,
yes. Check mark. Emmanuel Sanders, take a look and see if he's still someone that you want in your wide receiver two at this point this season. And then the only person on Frank Gore on Indianapolis is a solid start. And
Jack Doyle
is maybe a tight end if you're desperate. That's kind of the ins and outs of that game. So once we get through the rankings article later this week, we will have a little bit more of analysis, or at least analysis that captures what Dave and I talked about in the pod up there for reference for people who just kind of want to read and a reminder of where to find stuff. And those will appear later at ranks.fantasyoutliers.com.
All right.
Okay.
I think that's it.
I do think that's it. Oh, the last thing I'll say. We're going to do one more podcast for this season. We will do a Super Bowl episode. Likely it will be very, very short. It will mostly be an excuse for Dave and I to get together and have a beer, because the audience is going to be down to what amounts to probably a tenth of the size of what it was.
Maybe
20% of the size of what it was at the beginning of the year, because so few people are still engaged in fantasy football right now because they've lost.
We hope you're listening still
because
you want to hang out with us.
Yeah, that'd be great. too. So we're going to give
you a little bit
of a holiday special for that. I don't know if it's really going to be a holiday special. We might make some good jokes. We might trash some 90s bands. We might talk about takeout food in Chicago. Mostly, we'll do a quick run through of the league as people go into their Super Bowls. And that's it.
So good luck, everybody.
Yeah.
I hope you win and make it into the Fantasy Super Bowl.
Yeah. If you want to reach out to us, podcast@fantasyoutliers.com. Thanks. Bye.
Bye.